This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flato. Have you made out your list? Checked it twice? Well, you'd better check it again unless you've got some science gifts on there, because I'm willing to bet that if you're listening to this program, there are some science people needing to have gifts. Maybe yourself. Maybe you'll find some nice sciencey gadget that you'd like to buy for yourself or a loved one. And I'm not talking about that, you know, that chemistry set you got when you were a kid, though you can still get one if you like. We're talking about high-tech gizmos for that hard-to-please technophile, or even a complete hummingbird kit to turn your backyard into a winged sanctuary. Or maybe you want to go in the other direction and invest in a slinky, you know, for the kids or the kids at heart on your list. That's one of my favorites. Real simple, but real nice. So if you're looking for that gift to give, or you want to drop a hint, get to the radio, listen, hear the hint about something you'd like to get. Ooh, I love that thing they're talking about. Do you hear that, George? Yes, I love what they're talking about on the radio there. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. And if you have access to America Online, you can join a live discussion about the program. Just search on the keyword NPR and click on the control room. Now let me introduce my guests. Larry Maggott is a syndicated columnist at the Los Angeles Times and a contributing editor of Home PC Magazine. He joins us today from KQED in San Francisco. Welcome back to the program, Larry.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Ira. Good. And happy Hanukkah and happy
Same
Christmas
to you.
Season, everybody.
Don Rathjen is a physics teacher at the Exploratorium in San Francisco, and he's also there with Larry at KQED. Hi, Don.
How are you, Ira?
Busy time for you?
Oh, it surely is.
I'll bet. Priscilla Rubel is the founder of the Nature Company in Berkeley, and she's we've got a troika there at KQED today. Hi, Priscilla Rubel. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Nice to be back.
Well, let me start with you then. What are some of the most popular science gifts at the Nature Company this year?
I think one of my favorite for this year is going to be telescopes and binoculars again, now that we have another comet coming up this next spring.
Hale-Bopp.
Yeah.
Hale-Bopp's coming, yes.
Yeah, they just keep coming around. It's great for telescope sales, I must say.
I think maybe the telescope companies put them out there so that they can come in and make a killing on the telescope. So don't give them that idea. I don't want So you think telescopes are good, huh? Binoculars?
I think so, yeah, very good.
And how about something to read that you might learn more about the comets?
Well, there's a book that we've published ourselves called Sky Watching that's sort of a field guide to watching the sky, and then also lots of really great photography and illustrations to help you get into the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done by David Levy, who was the founder of Shoemaker-Levy Comet that hit Jupiter last year.
That's right. He knows something about comets. Don Rathjen, what are some of your most popular science toys and gifts?
Well, I go on the low-tech end of things here, but I think stomp rockets are out this year. And
who?
That's stomp rockets.
A stomp rocket.
A stomp rocket.
Sounds like a dance from the 60s or something.
That's an air-filled bag that you stomp on. It's got a little tube that leads to a rocket, and it fires, and it's a fun thing. Along the reading line, but not just reading, with lots of experiments, is something that the Exploratorium has put out last year. It's the Explora book, but if you haven't done it yet, it's a great
book. I have a dozen copies of it, actually. Give them out.
And we even have another new one called the Science Explorer this year for younger kids, so that's something that would be a good...
Does anybody buy erector sets and chemistry sets and things like that anymore? Or are they passe?
Yeah, erector sets are still available, but Lego Technics and Kinex are toys that are kind of in the construction mode, and they are really good for science toys.
Now, Larry Maggott, our computer guru this hour, for people who are contemplating a good, maybe a piece of hardware or something, what do you suggest they get? And what are some of the pitfalls to stay away from?
Well, lots of pitfalls. The first one is I don't go out and buy complete computer systems for people, mainly because I don't want to spend that kind of money. But it's one of those things. It's kind of like buying a car. You really want to have the recipient very much involved in that decision, because it's very personal. As you know, Ira, some people love Macs, some people love PCs, and there's all sorts of issues there. And then, of course, when you're dealing with software, I'll get into the positive, but since you brought up pitfalls, Very important to make sure that you know what kind of system the person has. Giving a Windows program to a Mac user would be a little bit like giving them last year's fruitcake or putting coal in their stocking.
But a lot of time they come on the same CD-ROM now, right?
Sometimes. A lot of times they do, which is really nice. And, you know, you can go out and look for that. Always look for the system. And often it will say Mac and Windows or even MS-DOS. Yeah. Another thing to be concerned about is just make sure the person has enough hardware. Anybody who's bought a computer in the last 2 or 3 years certainly has a CD-ROM drive, probably has enough memory. One of the things to be aware of is that many of these CD-ROMs take up an enormous amount of space on the hard drive. You kind of wonder why you've got this 600 megabyte CD-ROM. but for performance, they might copy 10, 20, 30, 50, even 100 megabytes onto the hard drive.
Wow.
So I've had cases where, you know, we've brought gifts home and the kids have gotten all excited and suddenly I've got to go delete all the files in order to install this game.
Right.
But those are the only major pitfalls I can think of other than if you give a gift to a child other than your own, definitely check with the parents to make sure that this gift is going to be welcome in the home. I guess this is true of any almost any gift you give. Mm-hmm. Software is now rated, not all of it, but there are rating systems analogous to what we have in the movie industry, although we have a little more information. And like any rating system, you have to take it with a grain of salt. But you should look to see if it's age appropriate and whether it contains sex or violence or gore. I mean, some of these programs get pretty gory, and I'd be very careful to make sure they're age appropriate and also appropriate to whatever the values of the family that they're going into.
What about some sort of stocking stuffer type hardware add-ons? There are a lot of gadgets out there.
Well,
I recently saw this little mouse. It's not a mouse, called a Space Orb 360, mm-hmm. where it's you have to figure out how to use it. It's quite, when my son was playing with it, demonstrating it to me, he got it in a minute. You know, I'm the klutzy guy, and the kids are always teaching their parents how to use a computer. But and it was kind of fun to use after a while. But there are all kinds of little gifts like that, right?
Well, there's also to get one fun thing, especially for the holidays, is to get a scanner. There's a generation of these relatively inexpensive small photo scanners. For example, Polaroid just came out with one.
A photo pad.
The photo pad, and for the price, I think it's about $300, but I'm not exactly sure. You get the photo pad, which you plug into your parallel port or your serial port. You get a Polaroid camera and a pack of film. So what we're thinking about doing for our holiday party is getting the Polaroid camera out, taking pictures of everybody, and then going and using this Hanes T-shirt maker, which is a piece of software that comes with a beefy T-shirt. And you can order Hanes T-shirts for $3.99 each. You get this software, and it comes with this transfer paper. So we're going to take pictures of the family. We're going to process them instantly via Polaroid, scan them into this scanner, and then we get these, run them through the printer. You get these iron-on transfers, and then we can iron them onto T-shirts.
Huh.
So everybody's going to go home with their own T-shirt to commemorate this wonderful event.
So you need a color printer then to make this.
Well, that is a little bit, yes, that's the problem with all this. You do need a color printer.
But there are some pretty good inkjet ones out there, aren't there now?
Great.
It's pretty cheap.
You can do really well. HP 693, about $270.
Mm-hmm.
Get great quality color. Terrific.
Yeah, there was an Epson one, a Stylus 500?
Color Stylus, and that's also about the same price range, also extremely good photorealistic color. In fact, you can basically practically develop your own pictures of those things, getting their glossy paper.
Amazing.
Very good quality color.
Priscilla Rubel, does the Nature Company offer science-oriented CD-ROMs? We can buy them at the store or in the catalog?
Yeah, we do. We have, there's in fact one that is called Animal Planet that is for kids, and it tells you everything you want to know about any animals in the world, some that you don't want to know probably. And then it also has connections into the web, so that it connects you to 2,000 different websites that can give you more information that are already pre-screened for kids so that they're safe and good and all of that. I think that's a really good one.
All right, let's go to the phones because everybody wants to ask about this. So let's take some calls from Nathan in Elkhart, Indiana. Hi, Nathan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
What, are you looking for a gift?
Yeah, I'm looking for a gift.
What would you like?
Well, I don't know. Science gifts are nice because a couple years ago, my grandparents got me a game for my computer called Turbo Science. I don't know what company makes it. But anyway, it's a cool game, and I'm looking for more science gifts.
Do you have a price range of how much money you'd like to spend?
Yeah.
How much?
Depending $10 and under.
$10 and under. Well, I'm going to go right to the Exploratorium. Don, you must,
yes,
must
you
have
got
some,
it there.
You must have
you heard
some,
me say them.
Well, I know that you specialize in as a physics teacher with low-rent gifts that are very
that's
nice
right.
science
that's
toys.
That's right. We pride ourselves on making something out of nothing. So,
what would you suggest
right
for Nathan here?
Well, for just kind of fun, not maybe long-term gaming, but there's things called squishy eyes, squishy brain, squishy earth. They're kind of fun, and you might have fun with your friends with that.
How about a gyroscope?
And it, that would be
under
good.
10. Nathan, do you know what a gyroscope is?
Yeah, someone does on Newton's apple.
Yeah, that was a good show, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's cool.
And they're under $10, and you can get one of those.
Okay.
And what else can you get for a sling? How much is a slinky these days?
Oh, they're under $10. Yeah. And if you've never gotten Crayola Jumping Colors, that's a set of markers, but inside is a special pair of glasses that are really diffraction gratings, and they make everything appear in 3D, and that's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Okay, Nathan?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, and have a good holiday.
Okay, sounds great.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay.
It's, in fact, you can have a lot of fun with some of the stuff you make for yourself or buy, assemble it in a kit form.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, that's, in a sense, a gift itself. It could be buying a science project book, and if you're a parent, buy a science project book and sort of compile a little kit of stuff to go with it, the materials, and box it all up, and you've kind of made your own... Mm-hmm. It'll take you a while to do.
All right, let's go to Virginia in Anchorage. Hi, Virginia.
Hi.
How are you?
I think I'm in a state of shock that I made it on the show.
Well,
well,
fan yourself a little bit, and then you can calm down and talk to me.
Is Carol Browner there? No, I'm just kidding. I have a question for Larry.
Yes, sure.
They did an article in the Anchorage Daily News not too long ago about a video-sized... about the size of a video cassette recorder. It's something that converts into internet on your television set.
Yes, called Web TV.
Yeah, could you talk about
that
product and the limitations of those products?
Sure, I'm glad you brought it up. The hardware itself, the device, costs anywhere between $299 and $350, and you can get them either from Sony or Magnavox, or Philips Magnavox makes them. And then you need to subscribe to the Web TV service, which happens to be based in my hometown of Palo Alto, California, and that'll cost you $20 a month. It's relatively easy to hook up. You plug the obviously the device into an electrical outlet, and then you plug it into your either directly into your TV or into your VCR, which allows you to kind of use your VCR and your Web TV, and then you plug it into the telephone. You plug a phone line into it, and then what you do is you turn it on, and a few seconds later, about a minute later, you've got a sign-up screen, and you enter in, when you first get it, your credit card, other information, and suddenly you're on the World Wide Web.
Wow.
And what you could do with it is you can send email and receive email, and you can also surf the web. And the good news...
why would anybody buy a computer after?
Well, a lot of reasons. Number one, I want to say that I actually was pleasantly surprised. It was better than I expected to be. I mean, the good news is that you really can sit across the room, and you can get... You want to spend about an extra $60 to buy infrared.
There you go. Infrared remote
keyboard.
Keyboard.
It comes with a remote control, but that you can't type in a remote control. Okay, so the good news is.
Can I ask you something real quick, though? One of the reasons I'm interested in it is my mom is elderly. She lives alone and she's kind of isolated, and she was just here, and I showed her my email, my computer, and I think she's a little intimidated. I want to get her so she can communicate with me, and I'm thinking this might be an alternative.
A good application. That is a good application of Web TV, and she'll be able to sit and do it on the television. The thing that I don't like about it, why I wouldn't want it for my own use, is you can't upload files, you can't download files, you can't transfer information. For example, I do a lot of my writing in my word processor, and then I'll send it by email through my email program. Okay. You don't have any of the power you have of a computer.
I don't think she's going to want that. I think she just wants something basic.
Can she see the writing on the screen? Because that's one of the drawbacks of looking at print text on a TV screen. It's not very good.
Surprisingly, Ira, I was pretty impressed with that. I expected it to be terrible. But, you know, our TV, we have a 20-inch TV, and it's about 7 or 8 feet from the couch.
Yeah.
And I was able to read it. It's a pretty big font. I was also impressed it's relatively fast. I said, this is going to be terribly slow. But they have very good compression algorithms, and they cache... Right. The data on their own site. So I, you know, it's not bad, except as long as you understand you're not getting a computer. And the other thing to realize is if you're thinking about it from a standpoint of being price-wise, $350, you know, when you think about it, you can get a pretty decent used computer for about $800 with a modem. So if you're looking at it from an economy, consider what you could do for a little more in, on the computer side. But for simplicity, it may be just what your mom needs.
Okay, great.
Are you familiar with Pippin at all, Larry?
Sure. I've looked at it.
Is it as good or worse?
I actually like it better. It's a similar concept. And in fact, many of the web TV people came from Apple. I think they're former Apple people in many ways. It's a similar concept. I don't know if Pippin is even on the market yet.
I've seen it in the mail order catalogs. So.
Well, maybe it is on the market. But it's the same basic concept of an easy-to-use internet connectivity, and you know, it's good for what it is, but again, it's not a substitute for a computer for people who want the real powerful kind of integration between computing and going on the web.
Okay, Virginia.
Great.
Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you so much.
Hope we help.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
You too.
Merry
bye
Christmas
bye.
To you.
You know, the thing about buying high tech toys is you say, well, let's wait for the weather to change and the next one will come out. You know, when do you say it's time to buy something? Is it better to wait? You know, if you really want to buy a pricey object like a computer or something, should you wait till, you know, maybe give somebody an IOU for one as a gift in a box and say, I'll buy it after the holiday season is over? Go ahead.
When it comes to a computer, I actually would consider that. If you're thinking about buying, especially an IBM-compatible computer for use in the home, on January 8th, Intel is going to release its new generation of central processing units. It's a chip which has something called MMX.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, I wouldn't say dramatically better, but you're going to get better graphics, better audio potentially as the software evolves. And Intel people are telling me it's going to be a premium product. It's going to cost a lot more. My sources in the computer industry tell me they're going to be rolling these things out at about the same price.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be. I mean, I've never said this before. I've been writing about computers for almost 15 years. I would consider an IOU and waiting until maybe mid-January in the IBM side. I'm not sure if Apple's coming out with anything dramatic between now and January.
Well, they have the talk of a new 500 megahertz chip next
year. Yeah, you
mentioned
that in your email. We keep waiting, don't we?
I wait. Everybody's waiting. Priscilla Rubel, you know, I was looking through your catalog, and I saw a gift for a bird watch, all kinds of bird watchers. Can we get bird watch? I actually become one this year where I'd never been before.
You have. Congratulations.
Yes. I've got I saw your hummingbird outfit that you have there, which I'm very interested in.
Uh-huh.
And your other... And your other bird feeders, what do we have for bird watchers?
Well, you can start with a bird call at $4.95. Just a little, the Audubon bird call. It's been around for, 25 or 30 years. And it's it will make sounds that will attract birds and make them curious. So they will maybe come out of the trees a little bit so you can look at them.
Hmm.
Then you can, you know, go into all kinds of bird houses and bird feeders. I think bird feeding is a really, it's become a really, really popular activity in the country. It's a way of bringing wildlife into your own garden so that you can sit and look at it. You can even then get to the point where you start recording all of the birds that you see and then learning and identifying them.
And hummingbirds will come just about anywhere, won't they, in the country? You don't have to think because you're too far north that no hummingbirds will come to your feeding
station. No, definitely. But during the winter, you won't have them on the east coast at all, east of the Rocky Mountains. So
I'm waiting for that one.
Hummingbirds
in my backyard.
They are so beautiful, so wonderful to watch. I mean, just the aerodynamics of that little creature are just so incredible. There also are, you know, lots of books about bird watching and learning to identify birds. There's the Peterson Field Guide series, which has been around for years and years. It now has come out on CD-ROM. So that's another link up with, you know, the computer age.
All right, let's go to Sean in Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Ira. How are we doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good, thanks. I have actually Santa Claus has a question for my 6-year-old. He is dying for all things a chemistry set, and I'll be damned if I can find anything that even remotely is appropriate for a 6-year-old.
Mm.
You know, of course, you think of Barney and then Power Rangers. Somehow chemistry set just isn't there in the age-appropriate things.
Don Rathjen, can we help him out?
Well, I know we have several chemistry sets at the Exploratorium store. There's one called, there's sort of all made by the, three of them made by the same people, Crash and Burn Chemistry, Ooh-Ah Chemistry.
Right, those are great.
Kitchen Table Chemistry, and then there's another one that's got the Smithsonian label on it. They're all in the $35 range. 6 years, there might be things in there, and in truth, I haven't looked through the booklets and everything with them. I haven't used them, but if the parent works with the person, that might be appropriate. Then there are also crystal growing things. Mm. Now, that might be a thought. There are, it's chemistry related. There are things like slime. You can get slime kits, something called pseudo putty.
Yeah, my wife had the same reaction as you did.
So. Don't want that around the house? Oh, it cleans up easy. It's kind of gross looking.
You have to be able to get it off the ceiling is the trick.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's it, or the cat.
Well, there's one called Foam Meister, and then there's a kit where you grow crystals in a sort of a fake geode, so you end up with something that looks like a geode, and there's space-age crystals. That's another kit, so there might be something chemistry oriented in that kind of thing.
There are also catalogs you can buy stuff out of. Edmund Scientific has a catalog that has lots of stuff in there if you want to mail order other places.
Fair enough.
Okay, thanks for calling and have a happy holiday.
You too.
Bye bye. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Phil in Bellingham, Washington. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Ira. I have a suggestion for anybody who is a backyard scientist or backyard or outdoor scientist. What's called a portable field microscope. I don't know whether your guests are familiar with this or not, but it's put out by Swift Microscopes, and it's a little bit pricey, but considering that it's a microscope, it's, I think, relatively inexpensive. It goes for around $100, and it's a monoscope, so it's a monocular microscope, and you can carry it with you out in the field, and it uses professional quality optics.
So when you see that pill bug, you can look at it under
exactly, and you can look at leaves and the pores in the leaves and just about anything that you can put the microscope up against rock faces. And
it's a great
idea. Unusual base so that you can actually put it in various positions so that you don't have to disturb the natural environment to look at this stuff.
Do you have a name, or maybe Priscilla or Don has a name?
Yeah, there's another one called the Ultimate Exploroscope, which is actually only $29 that does all of the same kinds of things, which is really great.
Discount radio,
that
right?
That is available in our catalog and all the stores.
I had another suggestion, too, for anybody who is interested in just gadgets. Your guests are probably familiar with this, but I can't remember what the name of it is. It's one of those magnetic levitation devices. It just came
Levitron.
Out, yeah, it just came out this year, actually. It's not the same as the older ones in which you had to have some sort of a support along the side of the object. This thing actually will float free, and it's like a little top or spinning device that you start spinning, and then you slowly lift it up with a plate underneath of it, and then slowly slide the plate off. And apparently there's like four magnets in each quadrant of this base. And apparently it's enough to, the spinning force is enough to keep the magnet floating free.
Great suggestion.
Can you do it, Phil?
And it'll float for like, 5 or 10 minutes.
No kidding.
About a couple inches off of the off this plate. It's new. And it's apparently, I don't remember the designer. I think I read about this in Science News or someplace. And
it's called a Levitron.
Yes. Yeah,
and we do have it at the Nature Company.
All right, there's where you can get it. Thanks for calling.
I can't get it to work.
Yeah, you have to be a Jedi. You have to be a Jedi master to get it to work.
It's because
it takes a lot of patience.
You have to be a 3-year-old. We're
there
talking about science gifts this hour on Talk of the Nation from National Public Radio. So easy, a 3-year-old can do it, you know, but somebody who's a little...
Not me.
Not you. Let's talk about the ultimate gifts. If money is no object, and then let me ask all of you first. Larry, what is the ultimate gift that somebody should buy that you
think? This isn't quite ultimate, but certainly an electronic camera, which is in now at the $300 or $400 range, a digital camera. You can plug into your PC. There are some advantages because you don't have to buy film, but you do have to download them, and that takes a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But you can then print them out on your cog printer, which would be another part of your ultimate gift.
Right.
And that same token, you can buy a video camera now. Actually, you can get video cameras for about $200, Kinectex, and they're color, and they go on top of your PC.
And then you can talk, see other people on the internet.
You can do see you see me, and you can actually have a video conference on the internet. So you want to buy a pair of those. Buy one for your long lost relative, and one for yourself. The other things, again, these aren't ultimate, but they're up there. Is the PDAs, the personal digital assistants. If you have somebody who really wants a very elegant one, there's something called the Pilot. It goes for about $300, and it will store your addresses and your phone numbers. And what's neat about it is it comes with a cradle that attaches to a PC or a Macintosh. You put the Pilot, the device, into the PC or Mac, and within a few seconds, all of the data from the PC is transferred to the Pilot, and all of the data from the Pilot is transferred to the PC, and you've got a great personal database.
Is that a Newton clone, or is that the...
It's not really a Newton clone, but it's in the same genre as Newton. It doesn't recognize handwriting, but it does recognize block printing. You can use a stylus. Mm-hmm. By the way, a cheaper version of that is something called the Bookman from Franklin, and it comes with a Sidekick. It's only $89. It comes with Sidekick, which is a personal organizer. It plugs, unfortunately, it's just a PC. It doesn't work with the Mac. Plugs into a serial port, and you can do the same thing. I actually really like it because one of the things that the Franklin has as an option is a little digital recorder, audio recorder. So you can take audio notes as well as type in, and the Bookman Sidekick has a keyboard, so you can type in stuff from the field. And then, of course, the other ultimate gifts would be a certificate for a brand new multimedia PC or Mac.
I'll tell you what my ultimate gift is on this category is that new electric car that came out for $30,000+, or the GM or the Selectria one that's been out for a while that is on sale only in Arlington, Massachusetts.
I can afford the seat covers, maybe, to go with it.
You don't think ultimate enough, Larry. That's the point.
That's my problem. I haven't even gotten my what is that catalog that comes out of Texas at outrageous price?
All right,
that one yet.
We're going to take a short break and come back and talk lots more about ultimate science gifts and not such ultimate gifts. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. Priscilla, I didn't give you a chance to tell us what your ultimate no-holes-barred money-means-nothing gift might be.
I don't know.
Put in your Ferrari. Have you any suggestions?
One thing that is not really expensive at all, but I just think it's a really far-out thing, is a piece of amber that has an insect in it.
Oh, yeah.
And we have it. It's in the catalog. We also have them in the stores. It comes with a magnifying box, because it's a little tiny insect, it's not a great big fly or anything. But then it also comes with a photograph and the slide negative of the actual insect that you've got, and thorough scientific description of the insect. And I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool. That is cool. Both.
And then that's $40. So it's not the money part of it so much. But on the other end, I guess, is the big Meade LX200 telescope, which has push button computerized controls, so you can it will focus for you on 64,000 different objects in the in the solar system and galaxy. And
wow,
I think that's pretty amazing.
Wow, that is amazing. Let's go to Craig in South Bend, Indiana. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Ira. Nice talking to you today. Hey, now you're talking about telescopes. I'm a president of vice president of the local astronomy club, and we generally get the Christmas aftermath about May or June, with people run out and buy telescopes for Christmas. And I'm not talking about the telescopes at the Nature Company. I've seen those. Those are the high-quality ones. I'm talking about the department store variety.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That are about $60-$80 around there. And you get what you pay for. And when people come to me, I kind of like hard to tell them that, gee, that's good for about, blocking your tire while you're working on your car. that's about what they're worth. What I tell people, especially if they're not real sure how long they're going to stay with it, is to go out and buy a high-dollar pair of binoculars, get like a 10x50, and a camera tripod, make sure it's tripod-mountable.
Mm-hmm.
And if your astronomy interest goes by the wayside, you're not out anything and you can watch football.
That's a great idea.
And the other thing is that if you really have to have a telescope, which I always try to talk people out of it, because if you don't know where things are in the sky, you're wasting your money. I mean, that's just the way it is. But Edmund Scientific offers the AstroScan, and it's about $200, $300, somewhere right in there, and it's a funny-shaped little thing. It's like a ball with a tube off the end, and you can cradle it in your lap, and it's no frills, no tech, and
gets the job done.
It gets the job done, exactly.
All right. You know, yeah, good suggestion.
Before we leave our guest, yes. There's a bunch of software that will help you find your way in the sky. The one that comes to my mind is Easy Cosmos, but your person on the phone may know of other programs out there. But there are plenty of software programs that can actually help you find heavenly bodies in the sky. So you might want to consider that as well.
They show you
Star Traveler's another one.
They
Star
show
Traveler.
You the yeah. Night sky that night, that very moment you're looking at it.
Right.
Or any other time in the past and in the future. Right. You can go back and visit an eclipse that took place 1,000 years ago.
Craig, any names of software you're familiar with that, besides the ones we've talked about?
The sky, unfortunately, the people that are in the club got a thing called Megastar, which is really nice because it's you can take you from beginner level, right, depending on how you set it, to advanced because it uses like the Hubble images and
right,
things like that and the full sky survey. So shop around and look for the things that say beginner on them because that's where
absolutely
you really need to start. And get a book. Well, the books are far much better because it's real hard to grab a computer and take it out in the field with you.
Yeah.
You take a red flashlight out with you and a magazine. There are several amateur magazines on the newsstand that are more than able to get you started.
All right. Thanks for calling, Greg. Good,
thanks,
good comments. Thank you. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Alfred in San Jose. Hi, Alfred.
Hi. I'm a grandpa, and I have a few grandchildren. They have a computer with a CD-ROM capability, and what I'm looking for is rating of edutainment CD-ROMs. I have looked at PC Computing. They have a guy by the name of CD Ron.
Right.
And he has various CD ROMs, and he gives them, you know, circles depending on how good he thinks they are.
Do you have one area in particular that you're looking for?
Well, yes, I have preschoolers, and I'm looking for both in alphabet, just learning the alphabet. And,
okay.
And I have one who is a first, second grader who would be interested in, say, math.
Okay, I can talk about that a little bit.
Go ahead.
As far as the reading the alphabet, the Reader Rabbit series from the Learning
okay,
Company.
That's what I remember, Reader Rabbit.
It's been around for a long time. And the math one, one of the areas that I really urge you to look at, Edmark, which is a company that was just acquired by IBM, has a number of products that are aimed at for math. One is Mighty Math, the whole Mighty Math Cosmic series. They've got a geometry program which is aimed for older kids, 12 to 14-year-olds. And they also have some Mighty Math programs aimed at the younger set.
Oh.
And there is also, Davidson has the Math Blaster series, as well as Reading Blaster series of CD-ROMs. One thing, Ira, I know we're going to mention it later, but this might be a good time. If you go to my website, there's an article on Christmas gifts, and there's a pretty big discussion about CD-ROMs for kids in there.
What's your website?
It's www.larrysworld.com.
Larry's, L-A-R-R-Y-S?
Right.
Yes.
Larry's
L-A-R-Y.
World.
Larry'sworld.com. There's no apostrophe. And okay. the top two articles this week are on Christmas gifts, and then on Monday there'll be yet another article on the same subject. So a number of these kinds of children's programs are listed. I'd also suggest Home PC as well as the fine article you're talking about, CD-ROM, that appears in with the PC Computing for good examples, too.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling. Have a good holiday.
Same to you.
I know that you write a lot, Larry, about the Internet, and I know you, maybe I'll give you time to plug your own book and stuff here, because people who are now getting all this stuff for Christmas are in the dark a lot of times, and that will happen sometimes when you plug in your computer the wrong way, about getting started on the Internet. Maybe a good gift for people is a tool to how to do it, you know, reading or CD-ROM stuff.
Well, there's a lot out there. Obviously, I'm thrilled if people buy a copy of The Little PC Book, which is my book, which covers all about computing and, of course, a big, big section on the Internet. That's out of Peach Pit Press. You can find that at most bookstores. In addition to that, there are all the Dummies books that are out there, the Internet for Dummies, DOS for Dummies, Windows for Dummies. I actually was offered a chance to write DOS for Dummies. I thought it was a demeaning title, but I've come around to thinking that I was a dummy because they do very well and they're good books. As far as the CD-ROMs are concerned, I don't know if that's I actually came out with my own about a year ago, and it did reasonably well. But at this point, I think, if you just get on the Internet,
right,
however you can do it, there's an enormous amount of material on the net that can help you to learn. Obviously, Larry's World has its own introductory article on there, and then www.learnthenet.com, which is actually everything that was on my CD-ROM. It's now on a website maintained by a multimedia company here in San Francisco. That's one of many good places that can kind of get you going. But the first thing you need to go on is get on. And for that, I recommend you find a friend who knows what they're doing.
That's so
all
true.
The books in the world.
That is so true. What about, but once you're on the internet, are there good shopping? You know, is there a cyber store and one in particular you'd recommend over the
other? There are millions of cyber stores. There's Home Shopping Network, which I think is www.hsn.com. Mm. There is the Internet Mall, and I can't remember the URL, but if
right.
somebody sends sends me an email message, if you just write to Larry at larrysworld.com, I'll try to send them a list of shopping areas.
There's also the Yellow Book, I think. Is it called the Yellow Pages?
Well, there's lots of Yellow Pages.
The Big Yellow or something like that.
The Big Yellow Pages. Then yeah. Yahoo will give you shopping tips. And the other thing Yahoo does, by the way, it has Yellow Pages from all over the country, which is a great way to find stores. You can even find a store in a neighborhood that you don't live in if you want to find, for example, find a department store in Detroit. So you live in California because you want to order a gift locally. You can find that on Yahoo now.
Great. Let's go to Martin in L.A. Hi, Martin.
Hello. I'm calling about the Levitron. I think you mentioned it earlier. It's about $40 to $45, and it's recommended for kids from 8 to 100, I guess. And you can also get it through National Geographic if you get their little gift booklet. Mm. It's really a phenomenal little item, and it's one of the best-rated toys, I guess, in decades. And it's also been on local television as one of the best-rated little contraptions you'll ever see.
All right. Thanks for calling and suggesting that.
Thank you.
It is truly an amazing thing to see. If you want to be blown away, if you can get it to work, it really is spectacular when it works.
I have your catalog. I'm going to have to leap through it and try to find it.
Yeah, it's on page 41, Ira.
All right. While I'm doing that, let's go to Susan in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I'm calling because I just finished a book that I picked up at the Nature Company, and I thought it was fascinating. It's called Storm Chaser by Warren Fadley. And
yeah.
I think the publisher is the Weather Channel, but it was really funny, and the way it was written is kind of the real story instead of the Hollywood version, and it was compelling, too. I mean, it kept you going, and I think I've read it two or three times now, and I love it. I can't get enough of it. And I think I bought it for about $24, $25, and I think it was a real find for me anyway. I'm kind of a kid when it comes to weather, even though I'm 31 years old. But I really love weather, and the way it was written,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
was just something I really liked.
Well, we're all kids at heart, right,
Don? Right, of course.
Yeah.
Well, weather and natural disasters has become a big topic at the Nature Company for some reason. People love buying tornado videos.
Yeah, I think Twister had something to do with that. Ironically, the book Storm Chaser has the same photograph that Twister used, that was a Warren Fadley photograph. But it's not. It isn't anything like Hollywood. It tells you, you know, the real stories behind what it's like to be a chaser and all the things you have to go through and, you know, all the things that some days where you think you might find a tornado, but you don't. And
right. So you like to go outside. You like nature-y things outside, like storms. You ever thought about rock collecting or rock hunting?
Oh, I'm a rock hound, too.
All right. Well, then stay with us.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about how do you get started. A lot of people like rocks and love to collect them. Priscilla, toys for kids or adults. I know one of the most fascinating things are those rock tumblers.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I know I had one when I was a kid, and I think everyone probably did at some point. It's just great to have, you know, throw in some stones and put them in with this sort of, you know, what do you call it?
Corundum, probably.
Yeah, some kind of material in there that grinds it. And 2 weeks later, you have these beautiful shiny rocks.
It's tumbling for 2 weeks?
Yeah, it takes about 2 weeks.
You gotta have patience.
Put
gotta
it in
have
the closet.
I think, you know, a lot of kids get them for Christmas and they think, oh, well, I'll put them in tomorrow, it'll be done, you know, but it does take some time. But we also have a really great selection of stones and rocks and minerals that are already tumbled in the stores, and you can buy collections of them. You can buy all of one kind. We have a great mineral selection and fossil selection, too, which is really interesting.
How about a rock? You need a hammer to collect some of these things, don't you?
A rock hammer and a good map.
There you go. Thanks for calling.
Rock pick is great.
Sure.
When I taught earth science, my family just dreaded going on vacations because I wanted to stop at every road cut and...
Boy, they say you went 2 miles in a day on some bad days. I know when I travel through Colorado, going through, you know, what used to be the ocean there, and going through all those, you know, where the highway cuts through all those little wonderful little mountlets.
Yeah.
And you just want to stop off and take little samples of rocks everywhere you go.
Of course, I also took my kids' toys to school, so my family has different conceptions of science teaching.
Well, let's go to Charles in Minneapolis. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say that, you were talking about the Internet, and it is a great place for kids. And there are some software packages that can help get kids started. I know someone was looking for something for a six-year-old. And there's an email product, an email for kids from ConnectSoft.
Right.
For kids 5 to 10 with animated characters that help walk them through sending email and stuff. And there's parental controls to, help control appropriate words. And
You would need that on email software.
Yeah, just about anything with the Internet. It's just kind of like the real world. You don't want the kid out there playing in the street by himself.
Larry, have you tried that stuff?
Yeah, I've tried the ConnectSoft product, and it works fine. It's cute. The only thing I didn't like about it, it took up a lot of hard disk space because it's just laden with graphics.
It is a big program. And the Internet is also a good place for resources for people looking for cheaper software utilities. If you know a person's specific needs, there's a lot of shareware and even freeware that is out there that you can point
and people. I think the caller raises a really good point about if you do put your, give your kids access to the Internet, which I strongly encourage. I do also urge a little bit of caution as far as making sure that they get into the appropriate places. The Internet's, by and large, as safe as any part of society is. But if I can give a phone number for a free booklet that I wrote called Child Safety on the Information Highway, which is put out by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, you can order a free copy of that by calling 800-THE-LOST. I don't know what the numbers are, but if you spell out 800-THE-LOST, T-H-E-L-O-S-T, they'll send you a copy of that booklet. Or, of course, you can get that on Larry's World as well, www.larrysworld.com. But, there's a lot of stuff for kids. But I would also say, before you go out and buy a special package for kids, be aware that most kids age 4 and up can probably figure out the adult software as well or better than adults can. And my son and daughter have no problems with AOL. They're using Netscape. They're using Microsoft Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
And they pretty much figure that out, too. And, you can get kids stuff, but, you may find that the stuff you already have is going to be pretty pleasing to the children also.
We're talking about science gifts this hour on Talk of the Nation from National Public Radio. Of course, my daughter uses AOL also. And the shocking thing is once your kids get on the Internet, they realize how people lie to each other like crazy about who they are and what they're doing. It's amazing. It's unbelievable the culture that's going on out there. Let's go to Ruth Ann in Northern Iowa. Hi, Ruth Ann.
Hi. I'm calling about a woman that called in last year.
Yeah.
She said everyone on her Christmas list was going to get the game Shoot the Moon. Could you give me any idea where to get this?
I'll ask my panel of judges. Anyone hear that? Know that game?
I don't know a thing about it.
But if you got into Alta Vista on the Internet and typed in
search.
Shoot the Moon, you would find it.
You could find anything on the Internet.
Oh, maybe I do know what that is. Now, there used to be a thing, it's the two rods with a ball on it called Shoot the Moon, but that's a device. I don't know if that's the game she's talking
maybe
about.
She
but
is.
The thing, it's you try to make a ball, it looks like it rolls uphill.
I don't have any idea.
Well, this is a wooden base, and it's got two movable metal rods on it with a ball. And you spread the rods apart, and the ball looks like it's going to be rolling uphill at you. And your object is to get it to roll, in a sense, as far uphill as it can. But it's a center of gravity toy. But
so it's like an optical
that
illusion.
Used to be called Shoot the Moon, but that's many years ago. So I'm not sure it's the same one.
We'll keep searching, Ruth Ann, for you.
Okay, you said something about on the Internet or Alta Vista?
If you go to Larry's World and click on the search page, that'll take you to a number of search engines. And the one that I recommend is Alta Vista because it will search the entire Internet, under every nook and cranny. And if you put Shoot the Moon in quotes, you go to there and you put it in quotes, it will find every reference to that phrase.
Careful what you find when that phrase.
you're going to find far more than you ever bargained for. But eventually, you'll probably find stores that are selling it in catalogs. Yeah. I mean, if it exists... you'll find it out there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a brave woman who searches under Shoot the Moon on the Internet.
True.
989-8255. Charles in San Francisco. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Actually, I just did a search on Shoot the Moon while I was waiting for you guys, and I got a custom bikini design.
That's, what I'm that's what I'm talking about. That's the tame stuff.
So I was just thinking back to my childhood and the kinds of things that I used to like back then. Now, maybe this is out of date in this world of high-tech toys, but one of my favorite books was this big book called The Way Things Work, and it was full of all kinds of mechanical devices. Mm-hmm. And descriptions about how things like jet engines and bicycle derailleurs and things like that work. And last week, my mother got a new computer, and I was checking out the CDs that she got, and lo and behold, one of them was The Way Things Work. And it's full of all these multimedia presentations about the way some common devices work. It's actually a good example of a well-designed multimedia presentation. And I just thought that people or kids who are interested in mechanical devices might find this interesting. Actually, as an adult, I found it interesting too. But it was relatively simple, and I got a lot out of it back then. Yeah. And maybe some people are looking for gifts for young teenagers.
A lot of editions of that have come out, you know, over 20, 30 years of the book The Way Things Work under different titles. But you're right, there are a lot of good books out.
Yeah. And something else that I used to enjoy is the Meccano set. I don't know if that's out anymore. It was kind of a high-quality erector set.
Don, do you know about that?
Well, I think I read something. I haven't seen it lately, but I think I read something a couple of years ago that it may be. And there's also Fisher Technic, which is a construction set that's kind of high-techy. But I'm not sure that the Meccano is around. I think it may be, but you probably have to, again, maybe the net. Yeah. Search the network.
Well, he knows how to do that. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've run out of time this hour. I'd like to thank my guests, Don Rathjen, physics teacher at the Exploratorium in San Francisco, Priscilla Rubel, founder of the Nature Company in Berkeley, California, and Larry Magid, syndicated columnist at the LA Times and a contributing editor of Home PC magazine. Thank you all for joining me this hour, and have a happy holiday.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
You.
And I'm going to repeat some of the phone numbers and websites in case you missed them. Larry's columns and all the information he talked about, you can find on his website, www.larrysworld.com. And if you want to reach the Nature Company, it's 1-800-607-7888. And if you want to order items from the Exploratorium store, it's 415-561-0393. And so there are some good addresses for you. On the next Talk of the Nation, what happens when the citizens of a country endure chronic violence and instability? Join Ray and his guests on Monday as they explore the history and psychology behind collective national insanity. Talk of the Nation Science Friday is produced by Amy Surratt and Karen Vergoth. Our intern is Pam Knox. We had help today from NPR librarians Kim Oleski and Alphonse Vinh and engineer Ray Fallon in San Francisco. You can visit us at our website. It's www.npr.org. And then you click on the programming area and you'll find the Science Friday area, clicking again on that. And if you're a student, please check out Science Friday's Kids Connection. You can find that also at the npr.org website. Have a great weekend. Happy holiday to you. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.